Good afternoon. Today I'm going to be talking about whether reactions to race-based treatment modify the relationship between overweight and obesity and high blood pressure. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Ellen Lopez, Tina Arcamone, and Latarsa Chisholm. I don't have any disclosures to report. So a little bit of background on racial and ethnic disparities in hypertension. The overall hypertension rate in the United States is around 26%. That's based on 2001 to 2004 NHANES data, and rates have been increasing over time. And African Americans experience higher rates of hypertension than other races and ethnicities. And in terms of for Hispanics, compared to non-Hispanic whites, they have similar prevalence rates of hypertension, but there's actually substantial heterogeneity that exists among Hispanic subgroups, so that may be being masked a little bit by grouping all Hispanics together. Hypertension is associated with an array of chronic disease outcomes, as you all know, many of which are also characterized by racial and ethnic disparities. These include stroke, heart disease, end-stage kidney disease. So we're not only concerned with disparities in hypertension, but also because of the disparities that it causes in chronic disease outcomes. So some of the risk factors, just for a refresher, for hypertension include age, family history, race and ethnicity, socioeconomic status, greater weight, lower physical activity, psychosocial stressors, sleep apnea, and diet. So clearly understanding the pathways underlying the observed racial and ethnic disparities in hypertension rates is essential to not only preventing chronic disease morbidity and mortality, but also achieving the Healthy People 2010 goal of eliminating racial and ethnic disparities. And you've probably read a little bit about the role of racism in health outcomes, in particular hypertension. It's received a fair amount of attention in the literature over the past decade. And the results of these studies have been mixed. Some studies have shown a positive relationship between discrimination and hypertension. Some studies have showed positive relationships conditional on coping styles or particular gender or race or ethnic group. For example, in terms of the coping styles, how people deal with unfair treatment. And then some studies have shown no relationship at all. So there's a lot of heterogeneity in the literature on this topic. And some of the reasons for this heterogeneity may be because of how we measure discrimination, the dimensions that we use, the coping styles that are collected, and then differences in study populations. Kamara Jones has described three categories of racial discrimination, which include institutionalized, personally mediated, and internalized racism. So there's lots of ways that racism manifests in our society. But much of the public health literature has really focused on trying to incorporate some measure of self-reported or perceived racism. There are other studies that have looked at more institutional-level discrimination, but especially in terms of hypertension, there has been some efforts to try to quantify discrimination in some way by self-reported data. And usually the studies that are examining racism and health outcomes have conceptualized racial discrimination as a stressor, and one model that uses that is a biopsychosocial model. This really is just combining biological factors, psychological factors, social factors, and explaining health outcomes. So in addition to some of the methodological issues that may be contributing to these mixed findings, we may also not be fully accounting for race-related stressors by the way we're measuring discrimination. We may not be accounting for, you know, additive effects of other stressors or interactions with other kinds of stressors. And we may not be fully looking at the possible intermediate pathways between racism and disease outcomes, such as behavioral coping mechanisms or other mechanisms. So the topic that I'm going to talk to you today about is how race-related stress may be related to overweight and obesity and interact in relation to high blood pressure. So the study aim is to explore associations and potential interactions between physical responses to race-based treatment, and I'll get to how this was measured, body mass index, and their relationship to self-reported high blood pressure. And I really want to emphasize the fact that this is an exploratory analysis using surveillance data from the 2002 Florida Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. So you all can look up on the CDC's website if you're interested more in the BRFSS methodology, but just quickly, it's an annual state-level, random digit-dialed, multi-stage cluster survey, and its primary purpose is to collect data on risk behaviors and preventive health practices related to leading causes of morbidity and mortality, and it's supported by the CDC. It's comprised of a core module that all states administer, and then each state has the opportunity to have optional modules and add questions. So again, the data for this study were from the 2002 Florida BRFSS, and we used questions from the core module and then also from a state-added hypertension awareness module. And then in 2002, they piloted this reactions to race-based treatment module. And since then, other states have also incorporated this module. Florida has actually only done it for 2002, though, so that's the data I'm going to report on today. All eligible participants were Florida residents, 18 years or older, English or Spanish speakers, and reachable by telephone. There were 6,150 respondents with a response rate of 44.4%. And by race, the weighted percentages ended up being 67% white, 12% African American, around 15% Hispanic, and 5% other race ethnicities. And it involves a disproportionate stratified sampling, so the data require weighting, and CDC provides that weight. The questions that we used for hypertension was, have you ever been told by a doctor, nurse, or other health professional that you have high blood pressure? Yes, you were classified as high blood pressure, but those who reported hypertension during pregnancy only were excluded. And then the physical reactions to race-based treatment. This question is part of a module that had about a handful of questions on race-based treatment. And the question we decided to use was, within the past 30 days, have you experienced any physical symptoms? For example, headache, upset stomach, tensing of your muscles, or pounding heart as a result of how you were treated based on your race? And the responses were coded yes, no, or don't know. And the don't knows were excluded. And then body mass index and the other covariate came from the core module. BMI, we just did a very crude categorization of low and normal, which is BMI of less than 25, and overweight or obese of a BMI of 25 or greater. So we looked at associations by race and ethnicity, BMI, physical reactions to race-based treatment, and high blood pressure, and then also conducted a multivariate logistic regression. So I'll report odds ratios with 95% confidence intervals. We did two-way interactions, and we weighted to account for the complex survey design using SAS version 9.1, the survey procedures in that package. So the response to this question of physical, have you had a physical reaction to race-based treatment by race and ethnicity, the odds ratio for non-Hispanic blacks compared to whites was 6.02, for Hispanics it was 2.54, and for other races and ethnicities it was 3.13. And here I have it by percentages here. So you can see that, you know, blacks, Hispanics, and other race ethnicities were significantly more likely than whites to respond to this question. positively. So 11.14% of non-Hispanic blacks said that they had experienced a physical reaction to race-based treatment, 5% of Hispanics, 2% of whites, and 6% of other races and ethnicities. Just really quickly, the other factors that were associated with this variable included education. So if you had less than a high school education or more than a high school education, you were more likely to report having a physical reaction compared to those who had completed high school. If you, for individuals who made $20,000 or less, they were also more likely. Unmarried, not having health insurance or usual care provider, if general health status was fair or poor, or not having recreational exercise within the past month, those were all associated with experiencing physical reactions. I got to get going here. So in terms of high blood pressure, the usual factors are associated with it. The one I want to point out is access to health care. It actually looks opposite than what I have it here. If you didn't have health care coverage or a usual care provider, you were actually less likely to have reported that you had been told you had high blood pressure. And that makes sense, because if you don't have access to care and you don't have a doctor, you're not going to be able to be told that you have high blood pressure. So think about that, too, in terms of the results and a possible bias. So here are the unadjusted results of this interaction between BMI and physical reactions to race-based treatment in terms of high blood pressure. And if you look at that first set of rows, so people who said that they had a physical reaction to race-based treatment, the relationship between overweight and obesity and hypertension was 11.02, whereas if you didn't experience a reaction, the odds ratio is 2.46. So either way, overweight and obesity is associated with hypertension. But for those who reported this physical reaction to race-based treatment, the odds ratio was much, much higher. And this is in the multivariate model. So we adjusted for all those factors that were associated with discrimination and high blood pressure. And the odds ratios didn't change too much. It went up a little bit there for those who did report physical reactions to 12.23. But I included here also the results for race ethnicity, because this is also important. Even though we had adjusted for and accounted for this interaction, it did not take away the disparity that we see between African Americans and whites in this sample. So non-Hispanic blacks were still significantly more likely to have hypertension compared to whites, even after accounting for this relationship. So in summary, the positive association between BMI and high blood pressure is significantly greater for individuals who have experienced physical reactions to race-based treatment. But again, this interaction didn't account for the black-white differences in self-reported high blood pressure. But I think the results of this show that maybe we should be looking at some other pathways and other stressors that may be, that may help explain the relationship between racism and high blood pressure. So some limitations that need to be talked about a little bit. Obviously, this is cross-sectional data. We can't determine causal relationships in any way. And the other issue that I think is important here to keep in mind is the time periods of these questions. So the physical reactions to race-based treatment was asked, in the past 30 days have you experienced this, whereas overweight and obesity, we had a current measure of BMI. And then this question about hypertension was asked, have you ever been told that you had high blood pressure? So, you know, keep those things in mind when you're trying to evaluate these findings. And then self-reported information, and, you know, there's some literature that shows that there's some potential underreporting of things like racial discrimination. And then also, again, this is Florida data, so it would be important to look at some other states to see if this is going on in other data as well. So in conclusion, hopefully this kind of data will enhance our understanding of the complex pathways between race-related stressors, risk factors, and disease outcomes. And I think it really underscores the importance of looking not only at individual level factors, but also social determinants, particularly racism, when trying to develop hypertension and overweight obesity reduction efforts, and really informing targeted multi-level efforts to reduce morbidity and mortality and also disparities. And one last thing I wanted to say is, you know, I think it's pretty great that this kind of data are available publicly and in surveillance data. So I hope that states will continue to collect this kind of data that we can all use in the public arena. And I know, you know, Florida only did it for 2002, and some other states have done it the past few years, but I hope we continue to see these kind of data collected by states and nationally. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Daly. I couldn't concur more, and I hope that that data collection moves beyond just that particular field, but that we many of us would agree that this type of data can be used in many of the fields that we all work in beyond chronic disease. The next speaker is on the schedule is supposed to be Ralph Katz. However, Ralph Katz had an emergency which is keeping him from attending this particular session. And so we were just notified of this. I apologize for anyone. And if I could ask, for those in the session, are there people here who are particularly here for Ralph Katz's presentation? Would you just raise your hand? Because we're happy to go through the slides of Ralph Katz just for the purpose of sharing his work. What we are going to do is put that slide at the end and then move on with the presentations that are here, with your willingness. Our next speaker then will be Quakisha Jackson. She's a first-year grad student at the Georgia Southern University MPH program. Her concentration is in epidemiology, and her area of interest is high-risk sexual behaviors among African-American adolescents.